97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I always appreciate when people write into the show. Not everything that you send me makes it onto the show, but on occasion it can. Dawn sent this in, Roy, and it's almost like it says tough task of the day, which it is. List three positive things that Joe Biden or Kamala Harris have done. Can you list three? Let's not even say positive. Let's just say three things that they have accomplished legislatively.
Okay. So besides an amazing economy.
Yeah. Besides that.
And world peace.
Yep. You know, we do kind of have to put positive on it, because you could just say, well, he's put a whole bunch of countries into war through no steady hand. He has opened up our border, and he has spent $10 trillion. I mean, that you could say that.
Yeah.
Let's say positive. And you could here's a twist on it. Dawn, I don't know if you meant us to do this, but I'm taking the liberty here. The twist can be that it's positive even from their perspective. Not from ours, but from their perspective. What do they say that they've done positively in the last 4 years?
Well, they just lie.
Yeah, but what do they say that they've done, though?
Well, they're saying that it's a great economy.
Okay.
And that they've added more jobs and that everything is awesome.
Ding, there's one.
Everything is awesome? That's one?
That's one. Economy is awesome. That they've added X amount of jobs, because they compare it to like the COVID dip,
yeah,
which is wonderful.
And they're only counting government jobs,
and yeah, that's
jobs.
Another one. And they're counting unemployment, which is not the way to count these things anymore. You count people who are not even looking for a job anymore, which unemployment doesn't count,
right?
But okay, so let's say that's one. Let's say that they're saying booming economy. There's one.
Boy. Their biggest thing right now is that they're not Trump.
Yes, but that's not an achievement, is it? Can we say that?
Probably not.
Okay. I mean, yes, that's a fact. That is their message. We're not Trump. We'll save democracy, maybe.
Well, they're not really telling us how they're going to save democracy. They're just saying that if we don't reelect them, then we'll lose democracy.
You have just said almost verbatim what Tyrus said.
Uh-oh.
Tyrus said whenever that he goes, I wish I were in the room when they would say any of these things, whether I'm interviewing them, I'm in the press pool, whatever, where they say, we will save democracy. He goes, I would just say, how? Or Trump will ruin democracy. I would ask how. Nobody is asking that question when they say those things. And they do interviews and say these things in interviews, and nobody is. And that's a simple question, super, super easy to ask. It's not even like you'd burn the bridge, because that's what a lot of these reporters are worried about is, oh, next time the president or vice president goes to do an interview, they won't call me if I'm too hard on them, which hurts my career, which is stupid, but that's a reality. But that's not even hurting, that's not burning that bridge. You're just saying, you're going to save democracy, let us know how. That should be a pretty basic question.
Well, you'll never get an answer.
No, you won't. They'll probably say, well, Trump, January 6th, on and on and on.
Right.
Which is probably why they don't. No, they don't answer. They don't ask it because they don't care. That's why they don't ask
it.
Okay, so let's say that's two. Booming economy, save democracy. We still have to have a third one here, Roy.
Boy, Dawn is killing us here.
Yeah, well, that's why she sent it. She said, this would be good show material. And I was like, I can't argue. That is good show material. That's good stuff.
Well, I don't even like playing this game where we're taking their perspective on good, because absolutely nothing positive has come. Oh, you brought it up a while back that a potential positive for our side is that people are becoming more in tune or aware of the bad policy. But it's, boy, I don't even like to think from their perspective. I mean, because it is so fraught with deception and lies and manipulation that it saddens me.
I would have said in the past, yeah, but everybody, all politicians do that. I still say that, but the last few weeks I've heard clips of White House, I don't know what you call them, because it's not White House correspondents, those are reporters, but they're White House surrogates mm-hmm. who basically go out into the media and they just say stuff. And Republicans have these people too. But the clips that are coming out of these White House surrogates, we've been playing them on Annie's show. They're amazing. They're things like that you'd look at Joe Biden and go, that's what people are seeing about him. I'm just going to take those same words and just say them about Trump. Like verbatim, yeah. That guy has dementia.
Yep.
Trump has dementia. He can't put thoughts together. I don't know why people would vote for a president who clearly is losing his mind. Like they're saying that stuff.
Yeah.
That's like communist manifesto manipulation.
Oh, just total projection.
Yes. That's all it is. Yes. The only third one that I could think of from their perspective is, so we got booming economy. We got saving democracy. The third one would be something like, I think it would probably be abortion or something about abortion, but the messaging's tough because the federal government doesn't have any real jurisdiction over it anymore. It's to the states, but it would be something about that. I don't really know what that would be.
Yeah, that's another one that they're kind of not really doing anything about it, but they're telling you how bad it will be.
Yeah,
without them. So they're sort of implying that they have a plan to save abortion. But they don't really.
Yeah, it's a weird moment because I thought going into this election, you were going to hear that constantly. And for a while you did, but they've kind of backed off of that message because I don't know if, A, it's really top of mind for voters and if they're forcing it, you know, people can see that. But also that it's abortion numbers are up since Roe versus Wade went away. So it's actually kind of backfired. I mean, the law should have never been, but it's like people went above and beyond and were like, now I'm really going to have more unprotected sex and get rid of fetuses because I can't. Like, it's like they're flexing their right to do it more because there's no reason why abortions would go up after Roe versus Wade, except for almost like people showing the man or whatever that is. I can't think of another reason. Maybe there is one.
Well, I would think it would be because what the overturning of Roe v. Wade was all about was give it back to the states. And there's enough liberal strongholds in some big states that they can swing the pendulum the complete other way now. Because if it's up to the state, then we're going to say
more like loosen the restrictions on abortion.
So
you
might have certain strongholds within California and New York, and
it's Illinois, man,
and Illinois and Michigan and places like that, where they're going to say, okay, well, you give it back to us. We're going to, if you're a democratically controlled state legislature, you're going to say, okay, all the rules are gone. You can do whatever you want.
That's a good point. I didn't really think about it that way. Do you know where the abortion capital of the nation is now?
Are you going to say Illinois?
It's Southern Illinois.
Oh, geez.
I think it's Carbondale because it's surrounded by conservative states, whereas a lot of those blue states aren't.
Yeah.
You know, they have more blue states around them. Illinois doesn't. And the bottom tip of Illinois especially is surrounded by more conservative states than anywhere else. So they've made Carbondale into like an abortion mecca.
So everybody's coming from out of state.
Yes.
To,
How sick is that?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, there's a great note to end on.
Get more at 971talk.com.